Welcome to the anointed and practical teaching of Pastor Bimbo Dukoya, the president of Single and Married Ministries and Discovery for Women Ministries. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will not only be a blessing to you, but make you more Christ-centered. God bless.
Well, I've titled this message, How I Can Tell I'm in Love. How I Can Tell I'm in Love. Because I noticed one particular question, which I took some time, or I'm going to take some time to answer. That question is, how do I tell the difference between a cross and true love? How do I tell that I'm in love with somebody, or I just have a cross for that person? That will take me some time to deal with. But let me just start with the first question, and we'll just go from there. Praise the Lord. Okay, how to tell I'm in love. How to tell I'm in love. Praise the Lord. Now the first question is, what do you do when you have a male friend who is always coming around you? People think you're going out, but he's not saying anything. Now Proverbs 23 verse 3 says, true wisdom is an house built, and by understanding it is what? Established. Now, to establish that relationship, what do you need? Understanding. You need to understand the intentions of the guy that's hanging around you and is saying nothing. Are you listening to me? Now, how do you get to understanding through information? In communication, we said, where there's no communication, there's no what? Information. And where there's no information, there's no what? Understanding. So what you need to do is to communicate with the guy. Now, if the guy is your friend and has been hanging around you, you need to find out what is in his heart. And so what do you do? Ask him. Period. Tell him to please define the relationship. Ask him to define the relationship. I'm not saying propose to him. I said ask him to define the relationship. Because he's your friend and you can talk to him, tell him you're a bit confused. Ask him, are we dating? Or are we courting? Or are we friends? You've been hanging around me for about 4 years now. I just need to know what's happening. Or about 3 years. And you've been smiling at me. Can you please define the relationship? Because I need to understand what is going on. Praise the Lord. I remember giving a testimony here about how a lady came to me. She had had this guy who had been her friend for about 5 years or even more. They had been friends from campus, and as far as she was concerned, they were best of friends, and she really liked him. And prayerfully, she got to a point where she was believing God that this was going to be her husband, because she liked the guy. And as far as she was concerned, the guy liked her because the guy was always around her and would call her his sister, his best friend. And she kept praying and fasting, and the guy didn't say anything. And so she came to me and she said to Pastor Mibo, I've left the campus and I'm not getting younger. This guy keeps coming. We keep going shopping. We keep talking. He keeps taking me out on dates. But he's never told me he likes me or he loves me. And I don't know what this is all about. And I said to him, stop fasting and talk. There's a time for everything. I said, this is your friend. She said, yes. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. When you're somebody's friend, you should be able to talk to that person. And that's what friendship is all about. I said, okay, tell him you want to invite him out and that you just need to talk. So she called him and she said to him, call him and tell him he should have lunch with you. And then ask him, Demola, we've been friends for 5 years. What's going on? Are we sister, friend, a brother, sister? Are we just friends? Are we close friends? Are we casual friends? Are we dating or are we courting? I said, then the guy's going to tell you what is in his mind. And if he tells you, we're just friends, there's nothing like emotions involved, then you know where you stand. And you can now start your life. She said, that easy. I said, that easy. Praise the Lord. And so she, Bible says, through counseling, what do you do? Through multitude of counseling, what happens? They're saved and you wage your war. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so she called the guy, and of course the guy was there the next day for lunch. And then she said to him, we've been close for so many years. Can you explain to me the type of relationship that we have? Are we dating or courting? Or is this just a brother-sister relationship? And the guy said, oh, it's just a brother-sister relationship. No emotions involved at all. He said to her, I would always like you as a sister, but never as a wife. He said, I don't have the intention of getting married to you. You're just my friend. I love to talk to you. I love to, you know, just be around you. And she said she kept herself from fainting. I mean, she asked the Lord to give her strength to go through the launch. But you see, that was the beginning of her breakthrough. Because after that, she had to come to a conclusion that there was no relationship between both of them. And then she had to ask the Lord to heal her heart. And then she was not able to encourage the brothers that have been trying all these years. But today she's happily married. She is. She's about 2 years. She's married for about 2 years now, and she has a good marriage. But see, if she had not asked, she would have been waiting and waiting and waiting. I'll wait until my change comes. Not in that case. Because you don't know what's going on. Praise the Lord. So, true wisdom has its what? True wisdom has its... True understanding is what? Beautiful. So, if you need understanding, ask. I didn't say propose. Number two. What is the difference between a cross and love? And number five says, how can you know true love? Now, I've taken time to just write something down here because I feel that I need to do a little teaching on that. Now, the dictionary meaning of the word cross is an intense infatuation. An intense infatuation. Praise the Lord. What is infatuation? To inspire with a foolish and excessive passion. To fill with a foolish or extravagant love or admiration. What is love? A powerful emotion felt for another person, manifesting deep affection or devotion. Praise the Lord. Now, just listen to what I have here. Love begins with what you give to a relationship, not what you can get. If you have nothing to give, love cannot last. Now, when I see somebody and I have a strong attraction or a strong sexual attraction to a person, we can call that passion. You listen to me. But a strong sexual attraction does not mean I know the person, or does not mean that both of us can work together. You listen to me. Now, that can be the beginning of love. Because if I'm sexually attracted to you, or I have a passion for you, or I have a feeling for you, that tells me that at least I'm attracted to the what? Container. Which is fair enough. But remember, we said that you cannot build a relationship on body intimacy or body attraction. And the last time we spoke, we said the reason why most marriages are breaking today is because people rush to be what? Bedmates before they are what? Soulmates. Now, the fact that I have a strong attraction for you or a deep, overwhelming feeling for you does not mean that I have a deep, strong attraction to your content, to who you are. Now, before I can love you, I must love you, not just being attracted to your body. I must love the way you think. I must love you spiritually. I must love you mentally. I must love you socially. I must love you intellectually. I must love your values and your goals. I must love your dreams, where you're going, who you are. I must be able to accept your background. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except the what? Agree. There must be compatibility between both of us. Are you listening to me? That's why we tell people there's nothing like love at first sight. Now, there's attraction at first sight. There's a strong emotional attraction at first sight. There is a strong cross at first sight. But you see, a cross can develop to love if we give it time and we get to know if how we feel about the outside is how we feel about the inside. You listen to me. Now, it takes time to develop love. Love, you don't fall in love, you grow into love. You listen to me. Now, where people make the mistake is, immediately they feel the strong attraction, they interpret it as love. Now, feelings come and feelings go. Now, we're not saying that if you have a strong passion for somebody, or you want to be around the person or see the person every day, it means that's not love. It might be love if you discover it is. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? If I want to be around you, all right, and I have a strong attraction to you, and I always want to be close to you, and I give it time and I realize that there's substance in that relationship, I realize that it is just more than a feeling. It's more about what we have together and the fact that we have something together, we can give each other something, all right, and I can see the compatibility between both of us, then I know it's just more than feelings. Where we can now become soulmates, not just body mates. Do you understand? Now, I don't have to sleep with a person before I am sexually attracted to that person. Sex bonds you, sexually bonds your body to another body, but you can't bond in your body and have love. That's just feelings. You listen to me. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just read out some things I have here. I said, necking, petting, sex increases the urgency of erotic feelings, but these feelings do not necessarily indicate genuine love. Sexual attraction can be as urgent in infatuation as it is in genuine love. Love and infatuation share three similar symptoms: passion, nearness, and strange feelings. But you can't love at first sight. You may feel strongly attracted to a person you just met. You like what you see. You like the body, you like the build, you like the actions and responses, but there's still a great way to go before you can love that person. Now, let's now define what love is. Love recognizes importance of compatibility. Infatuation ignores it. Compatibility means being capable of living together in harmony or getting along well together. You see, you might like somebody and not get along with that person. You might like the way the person walks, the way the person talks, the way the person dresses, all right, his accents and all that, but find out later that even though he is a good person, you can't work with him because your backgrounds are different, the way you view things are different, the way you think are different, your spiritual beliefs are different, your values are different, your goals are different. You just can't work together. A size 5 cannot wear a size 4 shoes, no matter how beautiful that size 4 shoes is. I get what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. Compatibility means to be in agreement or to combine well. It means being mixed together so a relationship enhances instead of interfering with the other's capabilities. That's how H. Norman White defines compatibility. Now, when you love somebody, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness and all that, and what? Self-control. Now, love controls physical contact. Infatuation or cross exploits it. For a couple in love, physical contact usually has a deeper meaning than sheer pleasure. You see, when I love somebody, I want the best for that person. I want to give that person my best. I want to be good to that person. That's what the Bible says. He that finds wife finds what? A good thing. That's Proverbs 18:22. Love will do everything good to you and will control his feelings or his emotions to make sure it doesn't take advantage of you. So when a person is in love, even though he's sexually attracted, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit itself is love, and love will control itself. So when I see you and the next thing I want to do is touch you, peck you, neck you, and sleep with you, that is more of a selfish kind of love, which is not love. That's infatuation or just passion. Because love will control itself and make sure that everything good he does to you, even if he has to inconvenience himself. Love is not just out to take from you or use you as a sexual machine or see you as something that he can get pleasure from or she can get pleasure from. You are more than just pleasure to him. You're somebody he needs to value, or she needs to value. You're somebody that he has started to love. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is what? Love is patient. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. You see, you will notice that when God defines love in the Bible, God doesn't talk about your feelings. It talks about your fruits. It talks about your behavior. It talks about your character. Praise the Lord. And so if I just look at you and say to myself, because of how you smell, how you walk, because of your body build, because of the way you talk, and because I like your eyes or your nose, I'm in love with you. Now I can build love. We can grow in love. That might be the beginning of love, but that's not love. It's just having cross. Are you listening to me? So we're not saying that cross cannot develop into love. Cross might be able to develop into love if what you have is more than just a cross. Do you get it? But you see, if all you have is cross, and there's no substance in the cross, and there's no oneness and unity, and there's nothing both of you can give to each other, because you see, the point is this: no matter how much I like you, I can start by taking you out, complimenting you, saying some sweet nothings into your ears, but that's not going to last. I can't spend my life just complimenting you, touching you, pecking you, and saying sweet nothings. We have to come to reality. We have to get to what you can do for me, what I can do for you. Can you meet my needs? Can we work together? Can we make decisions together? Can we work together? What's your family background? How do you think? How do you handle life? That is what love really is. So if all I'm thinking about is, oh, I just like the way he's making me feel, well, that's not love. That's just the beginning of love. But if that feeling is, well, because you see, the feeling that is controlled, if I'm going to find out who you are, I must control how I feel to find out if we can both work together. Love will make me control my feelings to face reality, to see what it's there for. I mean, if both of us can really spend our lives together, and if we're meant to work together, because if we're not meant to work together, and I say I love you, we're going to destroy each other. I'm going to deprive each other of finding the person, all right, that is meant for each other. So if I truly love you and I realize that you're not the one for me, I will let you go. I will let you go. That's a sign of love. Love is selfless, not selfish. Love will lay down his life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he what? He gave his only begotten. Love will give you everything that he knows is good for you, even if he's inconvenienced or she's inconvenienced. Because it's more about what he can do for you. Love is about how I can be a blessing to you, all right? Not how I can use you as a blessing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But you see, if love is handled properly, as I'm trying to give you, you're also trying to give me. So there's giving and what? Receiving. And it's not a one-way giving, and the other person is just receiving. If both of us are in love, we both will give, and we both will what? Receive. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at what it says. Living Bible says, love is what? Very what? Patient. You see, one thing I tell people is that even when you meet somebody that you know that everything seems to hit immediately, love is very patient. You see, because you need time to build what you have. All right? No matter how much you strike immediately, you still need time to what? Build. Love builds. Love grows. Love fortifies. Love lays a solid foundation. Praise the Lord. So love is what? Very patient. Love is kind. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty, selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly ever notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice. In other words, it's not the person that is very glad when bad things happen to people. But rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love somebody, you'll be loyal to that person. Love will be loyal to you. A person who loves you will be loyal to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Love, being in love, involves more than just emotion. Genuine love gets off the feeling level and puts the principle of love to work every day. You see, when you are experiencing love, you put off the feeling level. Yes, you feel, but you don't let that control you. You put the principle of love into work every day. So you are kind to each other. You are gentle. You are not rude. You are not selfish. You practice the principles of love. Praise the Lord. This means that you will not only expect to be treated with love and consideration, but you also act with love and consideration to the person that you that you feel that you're in love with. Time will give you experience. It will offer you more contact with your friend. It will provide more opportunities for you to find out what you need to know in order to make the final decisions. All said and done, you have found genuine love when your mutual relationship fosters individual growth for both of you and increases the depth of your love for each other. So what I'm trying to say here is that even when you have found that there's something between both of you, love will patiently develop it and give time to prove that what you have will last forever. Praise the Lord. Love will not rush into it. Love will build it. Love will let it grow and be sure that both of you can work together. Now, true love motivates positive behavior. Infatuation has a destructive effect on people. Love will have a constructive effect on your personality and bring out the best in you. So when you're in the right relationship, you find out that love increases you, improves you. It will provide you with new energy and interest in life. It promotes creativity and an interest in the personal growth, improvement, and worthy cause of the person you're going out with. It spurs that person towards success. You will study harder, you will plan more effectively, and save more diligently, because you know that there's something in this relationship and you have to work at it. Life takes an additional purpose and meaning. It will encourage you to function at your highest level. You see, if you're in a relationship and all you're doing is just going on dates, smiling at each other, saying sweet nothings and buying each other something, you're not in love, because you're not doing anything. Now, if I know that I want to settle down with this person forever, we start to build. We start to plan. We start to invest in the relationship. We start to talk about things. We support each other to have better goals. You know, we support each other to succeed. We plan. We invest. We build something. But if I'm just there going out on dates, smiling at each other, going to films, what am I doing? That's not love. That's just wasting time. Or just enjoying, it's just baby crush. Because you are doing nothing. And if you're going to live together, is that how you're going to spend your life? Just going to film shows and talking and smiling? How do you take care of the responsibilities? How do you handle the things that you need to handle? How do you work together? So when two people are in love, you can see that they are doing something constructive. They are working on their life, they are improving themselves. They are supporting each other to succeed in every aspect of their life. You can see what the relationship is doing for them. You can see the improvement. Everybody's working harder because, you know, you want to come together. You want to do something good for each other. You want to succeed together. You are making plans. Short-time goals, long-time goals, vision. Praise the Lord. Infatuation dies quickly once the other person is out of sight, because infatuation bases itself largely on physical attraction and one or two other qualities. You see, one of the ways you know when you're truly in love is no matter how far the person is or how long he leaves you, there's still something between each other. There's something you build. It's more than just seeing the person. If all you have is just attraction. Now, if all you just have is physical attraction and you just kiss peck and neck, once the person is gone, you probably find someone to kiss peck and neck with. Because you have to keep getting your pleasure and keep satisfying your body. But when you have love, even if the person lives for about 2 years, there's still something between both of you. It's more than just the feelings, the pecking and necking. There's substance, there's a relationship, there's intimacy. This is your best friend. A person that you cannot do something wrong to. A person you are patient, you are kind, you're loyal to. A person that, you behave exactly how you behave when he's not around, when he's around. That person knows that he has a friend, he has somebody loyal to him, somebody that will stay loyal regardless of how long they're separated. And that's what true love is. And that's why in Jeremiah 31:3, Jesus says, I have loved you with what? An everlasting love. And one thing you need, like we said, to build good love, good marriage, and to guarantee true love, is that commitment. When there's commitment, there's love. Praise the Lord. If you're truly in love, in a spirit of selflessness, you try to do what is best for your partner. If your partner really loves you, he or she will think about your best interest in an unselfish way. So while you are giving, you're also receiving, even when you don't feel like. Now, any of us can be loving when our needs are met and our partners behave in a loving manner. But the test of love is whether you can be loving even when your partner has treated you unfairly, neglected your needs, or forgotten something you had asked him or her to do. Praise the Lord. You see, love forgives. And I always tell people, the Lord is going to test you before he brings you the person you will love. And he will test you with people around you. When you say that you love and you're ready to love and somebody hurts you, and you find it difficult to forgive that person, and you hold something against the person, all right? You see, it's easy to say I love you when things are fine. How about when you disappoint me? How about, because no matter how perfect your spouse is, that person's going to hurt you. So if I only love you when you meet my needs, that's a selfish kind of love. It's only when you do what I want. If you don't do what I want, I can't love you. Love will demand that you do what is right, but love will be ready to forgive you and stay with you forever. Commitment is commitment. By the time you say I love you, you are committed to his faults, to his weaknesses, to his strengths. So the point is this: if as Christians we fight ourselves, we keep malice because of what somebody did to you, how will you love your spouse? Your spouse is going to hurt you. Praise the Lord. So you see, even how you handle your problems in the relationship will tell if that person can truly love. If the person can understand that you have faults and be ready to walk with you in your faults, then that person truly loves you. But I'm not saying that in a relationship you can't handle the person's fault, because you've got to be objective in any relationship. Can we walk together? Because once you say I love you, we must stay together forever. And your faults and your weaknesses, I must be able to handle. Praise the Lord. Love brings the approval of family and friends. Infatuation brings its approval. Statistics show that those married with lack of blessings of parents have a high failure rate. When you are in love, your family and friends can see what that relationship is doing to you, and so most of the time they give you the approval. But when you are infatuated, people can see that that relationship is destroying you, and so they don't give you the approval. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Where there's love, you feel secured. There's a sense of security and trust. After considering all the elements in your relationship, a person you've stayed with for a very long time, and you feel a sense of security around that person and trust, then it shows that you're in love. But it takes time to build that. You can't just say, well, I met you in just 2 months and I just feel trust and security. No. It takes time to be able to say that you feel trust and you feel secure with that person. Love recognizes realities. Infatuation ignores them. Love looks at problems squarely. For example, two people say they're in love and they're still schooling. You are your part one, she's in her part one, and you want to get married. Are you being realistic? You see, when you are in love, you face problems squarely and you look at things realistically. Look at the case of genotype, ASAS. You see, for both of you to marry, you have to sit down and really face, talk about the problems, talk about the problems you might have. Ask yourself, can I handle this? If you can't face problems squarely, all you're just feeling is a crush. By the time you are in love, the feelings are there, but you think beyond the feelings. You face reality. You look at the problems, the issues. You tackle the situation. You ask yourself, can this person be a husband? He gets angry all the time. He fights. He's violent. Yes, I feel something towards him, but I can't marry him because he doesn't have what it takes. That is true love. Love will accept the strength, and love will accept the weaknesses. And love will ask himself, can I live with this forever? This man says he loves me, but he's always cheating on me, or she's always cheating on me. Yes, I feel something towards her, but the reality is, can I marry a man who will commit adultery? Because once I marry him or marry her, I can't complain once I get married. Praise the Lord. Let me read out to you a couple's experience. Kate and I fell madly in love after we first met. We went together for about 3 months, and we saw each other for every spare moment and found it difficult to keep our hands off each other. We tried to hold our feelings in check because we did not want to go too far, which is very common with love. But that's what the Bible says, where there's love, there's what? Self-control. Your feelings will always try to take control of you, but true love will control it. So they experience that in that relationship, which is very normal. Then we began to argue a lot and get on each other's nerves. We talked about it and decided that it was probably because of the sexual tension from going too far, but not further. We decided that if we should hurry up and get married, it will relieve the tension. I'll be much happier. What happened? He had been dating for about, I mean, courting for about 3 months. They had tried not to sleep with each other, but they had touched each other very much. And they had set their bodies on fire. Are you with me? So she was probably a virgin, but a technical virgin. You know, a technical virgin has done everything but have sex. And so after some time, they started to quarrel and argue with each other. And they felt, okay, maybe the reason why we're feeling this tension is the fact that we have allowed ourselves to go too far and we have stopped ourselves. Maybe the solution to our problem is to get married quickly and relieve ourselves of this tension, and then we'll live happily ever after. Let's go on. We were married right away, and for 2 months, everything was near perfect. Now we have more quarrels than we ever had before. We found out the hard way that marriage is no solution to a dying affair. Hallelujah. And she says, I advise people to take things easy and not rush into any relationship. You see, one thing you must understand is that when you fall in love, or when you start in the process of love, some people start by not feeling too much emotions for themselves, or some just start madly in love. But it might not be that way. So let's take a case of somebody that meets somebody and they just feel an attraction for each other, and then they now start getting closer and closer, and before you know what, they get to the stage of honeymoon love where they feel this passion. It's like, we've got to marry now. The body is, the emotions are so much, you want to touch each other, you want to sleep, and you are praying every day, put boundaries and not touch each other. That's a stage that everybody will go through. But after the honeymoon stage, then you get to the reality stage. But what happens is most people marry during the honeymoon stage. They have not got to. And you see, that honeymoon stage, sometimes you may be there for about 6 months. There's that, marry now, nah. Everything is rushing you. It's like, you can't do without seeing him. You must talk to him. That's fine. It's okay. It's a process of love. It's okay. But if you can just calm down and keep praying, you'll pass that stage and get to reality stage where you start to see all the weaknesses. You start to see things you never thought your sweethearts could do. You start to see the person's weaknesses. Now, when you get to the reality stage, then you get to your decision stage. Then you ask yourself, can I live? Because you see, no matter how beautiful that woman is or handsome that man is, he or she has his weaknesses and the faults. And not until you have found your spouse's fault, you're not ready to decide if you want to get married. You listen to me. Praise the Lord. But most people don't get to reality stage. They marry in the honeymoon stage, and that's why they feel they married a complete stranger. Now, just before you get married, I've written out 50 issues that must be discussed. You see, we've said it over and over. Courtship time is not a time for what? Intercourse is a time for what? Interview is a time to talk. It's a time to communicate. It's a time to of assessment. It's a time to deal with issues. Now, listen to this. Dr. Warren suggests a list of 50 items for both partners to consider and to discuss before marriage. Now, let me go through the things that you need to. It's when you love and you truly love, you must have dealt with all these issues. One, both of you must have spoken about the background of each other, and how far that background will affect your relationship. What about your background will affect your relationship, and what about your background do you have to deal with to make sure that relationship is healthy? Or what do you have to know about each other's background to be sure that you know each other properly and that you can actually live with each other? The intelligence level of the person you want to marry is very important, because marriage is about making decisions, and both of you must be compatible in that area. Formal education. You want to ask yourself, do I respect this person's education? Can I look up to the person I want to marry as a head of the relationship? Can that person lead me educationally? Am I proud of his or her educational level? Verbal skills. What keeps marriage is communication. This person I want to marry, how does he talk? Words, tone, body language. Do I like the way he speaks to people, will speak to me, will speak to my parents, my friends, my relations? Verbal skills. Or do you have to work on your spouse's verbal skills? You need to talk about the expected roles for both persons in the marriage. What do you expect from the man you want to marry? Talk about the roles. Just don't assume that you know the roles. Talk about how things that you expect from him as a father and as a husband. Talk to the lady about what you expect from her as the wife and the mother of your children. What are the roles you expect her to play, and what are the roles she will expect you to play? Views about power distribution within the family. What is submission to you as a man? What is respect to her as a woman? Do you understand what it means when God says the man should love his wife like Christ loves the church? What does your wife think about that? Does your wife understand what submission? What is your own interpretation of submission? Because that's what causes problems in relationships. Praise the Lord. Talk about about the number of children you want to have when you get married. Some will say, I want 10. One will say, I want 2. When you want to start your family, some people will say, well, when we get married for the next 3 years, we don't want to have children. All right, what type of family planning do you want to use? Do you want to use pills? You have to discuss that by the time you're thinking of getting married. What are the side effects of pills? Are you going to use, what's it called, safe period? Are you sure you don't have children? How about if you have children, where you don't want to have children, what will you do? Will you ask me to go and abort? Talk about all these things. One thing to say, we'll wait till 3 years, but you see, the child can come before 3 years. Praise the Lord. Child-rearing views. You see, the way your parents brought you up is not the way his parents brought him up. What is your idea of rearing a child? It's important you talk about it. Now, what is your mental, psychological, and social, and spiritual philosophy of life? Deal with the issues. What's your view about smoking, alcohol, and drugs? Do you believe, well, I can smoke a bit and God will understand? And do you believe that, well, the Bible says we can drink wine but not get drunk? But the Bible also says in 1 Timothy, is it 5:22, abstain from every word, appearance of evil. Make sure you have the same views about all these things, so that's what causes problems in marriage. Talk about the amount of involvement with in-laws. How far will our parents be involved in our marriage? Will our parents come to live with us in the house? Will our brothers and sisters reside in our house with us? Talk about all these things. Don't just say, I'm in love. This is what love is. Talk about the sense of humor. Are you a person that is very serious? You don't laugh, you don't joke, and you just study and pray every minute? Talk about it. Talk about punctuality. Some people are just never punctual. You have to wait for them for about 5 hours. Every program they have, they're always late. That can be a major issue. Talk about it. So if your spouse is like that, get ready. Talk about talk about how far you can depend on that person. You see, sometimes some people feel that their spouse depends on them too much. They say, well, the wife doesn't want to work. She's just at home. She expects me to just bring the money. She's too lazy. She's too laid back. She doesn't have visions. Doesn't have goals. And so she's depending on me to do everything. Talk about it now. Or if you expect her to just stay at home and depend on you and not do any work, talk about it, because that can be a problem. Talk about your desire for verbal intimacy and ability to be intimate. Women are talkers. They like to talk. And one thing I can do to a woman is to tell her, I love you, but don't talk to me. You come back from work every day and you just watch CNN, watch the television, you don't talk. She has something on her heart. She cannot express her feelings. You criticize her, you judge her. One of the greatest gifts you give your spouse is the ability to talk to you. Talk about communication. And if the person you are marrying loves you so much, doesn't talk to you now, by the time you get married, you know what you are in for. Praise the Lord. Talk about the role of conflicts and how to resolve it, because that's what breaks relationships. No matter how much you are in love, and no matter how much you are both angels made from heaven, you are going to have conflicts. You listen to me. Talking, prayerful people born in heaven, you are still going to have conflicts. So before you get married, tell your spouse, what are the things that I can't handle? What are the things that when you do, I just can't handle it? All right? Let him or her know. So if the person knows that he has the tendency of doing that, you talk about it before you get married. What are your fears? What are the things that if the person does, you might think of divorcing the person? Talk about them. Or when you get angry, how should your spouse appease you? What can he or she do to appease you? For me, no matter how angry I am, if I'm angry, what I need to say to me is, I'm sorry. If you keep saying I'm sorry, he has a way of getting to me. But if you try to argue with me at that time, you just make me talk more. Do you understand? So both of you must have to say, look, when I get angry, this is what you can do that will make me calm down. Or this is what you can do that will increase the anger. These are some particular words you should never use when I'm angry. Or this is a particular tone or body language you must never ever put when I'm angry. If you don't talk about it, when the anger comes, you'll be shocked at who you married. One couple said the way they handle their anger is when they're angry, they have these 2 chairs in their bedroom. So once one comes and sits on that chair, the other person goes to sit down. And it means there's anger. And we're going to talk about it. And what they agreed on is that when the person is angry, the other person just keeps quiet and allows the person to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Keep saying, okay, sweetie, I understand, I understand. And when she cools down, then he can. But there's always a hot seat. So when the other person feels I'm the one that should take the hot seat, they will now exchange the seat. And then goes to the hot seat. Listen, whatever works for you, just do it. Just do it. You know, or maybe you might just say, when I get angry, just leave me for 10 minutes and start to pray for me. You have to let your spouse know what it is. This is how you can tell you I love, not just I feel. What do you feelings do when the person gets angry? I guess what I'm trying to say. Beautiful. Hallelujah. So you have to talk about how to handle anger. Talk about how friendship with the opposite sex should be handled. Hey. Talk about how friendship with what? The opposite sex should be handled. Hallelujah. If you love me, should you touch another woman when I'm around? No. Tell him. If you love me, can you hug every woman around you? Ah, that's serious. Tell him. Or tell her. When we get married, can you have your own friends? Some men will say, well, she's my friend. And there's all you can do about it. She's my personal friend. Can you have a friend that is your friend and is not your wife's friend? You talk about it. You are a pastor, and all the ladies in your congregation are the ones that come to you for counseling. At odd hours. Talk about it. You see, these are the things that destroy marriage. I love you, I love you. If you love me, let's talk. Let's talk about it. Because this is how we can establish love. Not that I like the way he walks, I like the way he smells, I like the way he says sweet nothings. Hey! All that will last for some time. This is reality. This is love. Hallelujah. Talk about your level of ambition. You see, in every relationship, you must understand that no matter how much you love your spouse, there's a place that God has in your life that your spouse will never have. And so any spouse, anybody you want to get married to that says, love me and don't love God, it's not going to work. Because there's something that only God can give you. You must have a multidimensional relationship for you to be fulfilled in life. There's a place that your parents will take in your life that your spouse will never take. Even though your parents should not come into your marriage. But your spouse can't say, if you love me, don't love your parents. Don't get in touch with them. Bible says leave them. It didn't say, but it says continue to honor them. There's a place where your friends, there's a place for your friends in your marriage. Because you still need to have friends. Then there's a place for your vision and your goals and your ambition. Now imagine if my husband says, because I love you, don't do single marriage. Or because you love me, don't fulfill your goals and your visions. It will take something out of my life. So talk about your level of ambition. What do you want to achieve in life? Yes, you're going to be a wife and mother, but what are the other things that you must do? What are your dreams? What are your goals? What did God tell you? Can you both handle it? Will your husband say, now that you're married to me, then don't do any other thing? How far do you want to go in your dreams and your goals? Do you want to do your master's, your PhD? Do you want to be this and that? Talk about it now. So that if both of you know that, if the man says, I can't handle that, I want my wife to just be quiet and be a housewife, or okay, you can have your first degree, but I can't allow you to have your master's and PhD. Talk about it now. Or if the husband says, I want to be somebody that, I want to be a pilot, I want to be an evangelist, I want to fly around preaching the gospel. That's fine, but can you handle it? Talk about your level of ambition. Because if you don't, that can affect your relationship later in life. Praise the Lord. Life goals. Talking about that. Attitudes about weight. Some ladies are very slim when the man meets them. But I remember a lady that I used to know, very slender, thin. But if you see her today, you'll be shocked. She's three times my size. Now that's reality. I might see you very slim and tiny, and in years to come, you can be my madam. And you can look very fat now, and in years to come, you might be slim. Talk about it. If you are somebody that must marry a slender person, look at the mother. Because you see, her mother to a far extent will tell you how she'll look. So when you have some very slender ladies and you have the mother fat, that's the way she might be later in future. Now, ask yourself, you see, for me, my husband will tell me, if you want to be fat, be fat. If you want anyhow, I like you. But I'm going to tell you I'm going to be slim. Because my husband will say, eat, no problems. I love you for who you are. So if your spouse has a clause and says, once you get fat, I can't handle it. Tell him that I will try my best. How about if hormones takes over? Is it hormones? Abi? The men, pot belly, exactly. So men, all of a sudden, pot belly. Ask yourself, if your husband suddenly develops pot belly, will you be able to handle it? This is what you talk about it now. And pray, and let God show you the future. Because once you say I do, you can't say I don't. This is what love is all about. Is this issues? Talk about them. Are you listening to me? Just don't say, I can't do without it. What can't you do without? These are the issues you must talk about. Praise the Lord. Religious and spiritual beliefs and preferences, very important. You see, can two work together? I said they agree. If you love my God, then we're going to think the same way. The God you serve determines how you treat people. The God you believe in, his values, his goals, and his teachings. And so the point is this, yes, we love each other, but are we compatible in our beliefs? As a man thinketh. So if my spiritual beliefs makes me behave in a particular way, or gives me the right to marry 5 wives, all right, or gives you the right to treat you in a particular way, then if we don't deal with those beliefs, can we really work together? That's what the Bible says, can two work together? I said the what? So agreement is the basis of love. Praise the Lord. And you can't escape that. Your God must be your God, and your people must be my people. Because when you marry the person's God and the person's family. And the person's ideas, goals, vision, dreams, and all these issues. Praise the Lord. Talk about the amount of church involvement. Because if I love God and I want to stay in church, I want to go to church every day. And you're also a Christian, but you're only one time a week. You love God, but you believe in going to church once a week. And I want to sleep in church every day. We need to talk about it. Because it's going to be a basic problem. Praise the Lord. Talk about hobbies and interests. Very important. Type of music enjoyed. The fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean that you like to hear only gospel music. It's okay. You might want to hear some classical music. Whatever. Talk about it. Because if both of you don't agree, there's going to be war in your house. Praise the Lord. Talk about your values and your goals. Talk about your control. Are you somebody that can control yourself? Do you shake when you see any opposite sex? Do you have a problem with women or with men? Or do you have a child from your past that you have not told your spouse? Talk about it. Talk about the amount of income to be spent and saved. Some women feel they marry stingy men. Some women say to themselves, if I knew this man was like this, I wouldn't marry him. Because there are some men that believe in just saving and never giving. And some believe in just giving and never saving. Money issues can destroy homes. Who keeps the money? Do we have a single joint account, or do we have a separate account? There's nothing wrong in having separate or joint account. Just make sure that it works well. You can have a joint account and then 2 separate accounts, but make sure that you agree. Just don't say I love the nose. Talk about this. How much money should be allocated to clothes, vacation, and all that? Talk about it. How much amount of money should be given away and to whom? Talk about it. Some men say their wife give their money to church. Talk about it now. And some women say that their husbands just want to give money to everything but God. Talk about it. And the woman loves to give her money to God. Can two work together? I said the words. Talk about the degree of risk to be taken with investments. If your husband likes to invest, talk about the risk. Doesn't mean you just do all the investment and even your children don't have clothes to wear. Talk about it. Attitudes about cleanliness. Are you the dirty type or the clean type? Attitude about cleanliness in the house, your clothes, your body. Do you have mouth odor, body odor, clothes odor, whatever? Talk about it. Ways of handling sickness. if your spouse gets sick, talk about handling sickness. Are you the type of person that when your wife is having a baby, you cannot stay there? When somebody vomits, you faint? Praise the Lord. When you see blood, you're gone. Talk about all these things, because somebody might go sick. When your spouse is sick, will you just leave her in the hospital and see her once in a week? Talk about all these things. All these things are important. Health standards. When to see a doctor. I used to have a friend that believes that you don't see a doctor, you just pray and have faith. And when your spouse's faith is not strong enough, you tell her, have faith. No doctor, have faith. And the person is having toothache and she wants to take just Panadol. You say, no, that's not faith. No Panadol in this house. Talk about it now. So some people don't die in your hands. Talk about interpersonal and social skills. Is the person you want to marry very prideful, keeps malice, looks down on people? She has a social class, doesn't talk to poor people, has her nose up. Talk about it now. Talk about the area you're going to live, geographical area in which you live. You want to live in you want to live in Morocco? Or you want to live where? Give me one of these areas. VGC. Or you want to live in Mushi? Or Onipa? Where is this? Ajegunle? Here we go. Talk about it now. Hey. Don't go and use your friend's car. Why all you have is a Beetle? Somebody told us that he has a friend that believes you should never ride a car but a Beetle. That if you ride anything like a Beetle, you are wasting money. And that the trousers he wears is a 1961. Because his philosophy is, don't waste money on good cars or good clothes. Invest. Talk about it now. Praise the Lord. Talk about the size and the style of house. Some people will say, I can only live in a bungalow. I can only live in what? A duplex. The way I was brought up, I live in a big house with gardens and boys' quarters. And I must have my cook, I must have the servants, I must have the gate men, I must have the gardeners, I must have... My clothes must not be washed but dry cleaned. I don't cook my husband's food, I have the cooks that do it. We sleep on separate beds. Talk about them now. Type of furniture and decoration. Are you the type that you cannot use furniture that is made in Nigeria? It must be imported. You tell them you are allergic to sit on anything that is not imported. Once the chair is not imported, you say you are allergic to it. And you break out in rashes. Some people say they cannot wear any jewelry that is not gold. Once it's not gold, they break out. They can't wear costume jewelry. If you want to marry an expensive wife, make sure you have money in the account. Talk about these things now. Hey, I love you, I love you. This is what it means. Can she sleep on the floor with you? When times are good, will she only be there? When times are bad, will she be there? Can she sleep on water bed and sleep on the floor at the same time? Talk about the amount and type of traveling and travel preferred. Some people tell you, I only fly. I don't go by road. I can never go by road. I can't stay in the car for 5 hours. Hey. Do you have to go on vacation every year? Are you used to flying to Paris, London, America? And money or no money, it must happen every year. Talk about it. Talk about how much time you have to spend together. How much time do you spend together? Some people have jobs that keep them separated for months and years. I told God, don't give me a doctor, please. Because I can't do all this shifting, all this, they go shift afternoon, night, everything. I said, don't give me a petroleum engineer because it will live on the rig. But God gave me a petroleum engineer that doesn't go to the rig. You see? There's balance. Talk about, you see, there are some things that you might think is not important. Talk about when to go to bed and when to wake up. Some people like to sleep very late. They are up till 1, 2, and you must sleep by 9. You see, these things look very... Some people tell you that you must wake up at 6 a.m. and they will sleep at 3 a.m. in the night. Are you listening to me? Praise the Lord. That will give you an idea of the type of person that you are going to live with. Then three other issues.